Good morning.
Good
Well, I've got my antihistamine issue lined out from last Sunday. I was telling them earlier that I was standing up here and all of a sudden this just flash and didn't know where I was at and felt like I was just going to hit the floor. And it was discovered that it was antihistamine, a very strong one I was having to take to try to dry up all that yuck I had in my sinuses. Well, I'm on a non-drowsy antihistamine, so hey, Janine says I'm still dizzy and loopy, but hey, it's all right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me again to Luke 6, verses 6 through 11. We're going to get through this sermon today. The devil ain't going to stop it from happening, I'll tell you that. And when you get to Luke 6, 6 and 11, you know what? I know we normally stand, but just we're going to take it easy today and just sit. How's that? On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath so that they might find reason to accuse him. But he knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he got up and came forward. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to destroy it?" After looking around at them all, he said to them, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they themselves were filled with rage and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today, look upon our hearts, Father. And we just ask and pray that God, you will show us our own life. And do we have Jesus present with us all times? Are we living for you, Lord, like you want us to live? If not, then God, today, show us the error of our ways. And Father, and give us the strength and the direction to correct the areas of our lives, Father, where we are falling short. God, you're the only one who has the power to do so. And Father, we thank you for this message today. We pray that you will speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Do not let any words come from my own flesh or thoughts or ideas. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, Jesus was always in the Lord's house every Sabbath day. And I firmly believe that us as Christian people should make it a point every Sunday, if we're not sick, that we should be here at the Lord's house to worship him. The presence of Jesus made all the difference on this occasion that we read about. And it's very important that we have Jesus's presence with us when we come to church. When we have the presence of the Lord in this place, it is the only way that we're going to see things happen. It's the only way that we're going to have our lives delivered from things that maybe we've been through that week. I know that it's up to me. I can't call Jane and say, "Now, Jane, make sure you bring the Lord with you to church today. Make sure you have on your smile. Make sure you have your heart in the right." That's not my responsibility. It's up to me because the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And if I'm coming to church to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ, then it's up to me to get my heart in the right place, to get my attitude lined out in the right way. And it's up to me to say, "All right, Lord, we're going to your house today. And since this is your day, I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to celebrate. And I'm going to let everybody know that when I walk through that door, that the only one that lives within my heart is you, Jesus." Because Jesus, now, if everybody come in here with all the negativity and pessimism of whatever's going on in the world, are you going to have a good worship service? Absolutely not. If we push the Lord out the door when we come to church, He will be, I believe, gentleman enough. And if people don't want Him in the church, He'll stay out of it. And then that's when you start to have problems within the church services. But having His presence here is so important. When Jesus is present, there is a power that is to be had. There is a power to heal the sick. In Hebrews 13:8, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If He was healing people back in the days of the Bible, then I believe that Jesus is still in the healing business today. Now, it may not be a quick, instant thing right at that moment, but I believe that when I pray for somebody, or if I pray for my own self, having been sick or whatever, I believe that my needs are met, that my health has been restored, and I just will continue to praise God. I've seen God do instant miracle healings, and I've seen healings that happen over a certain period of time. But the thing that we must never do is we must never lose sight, and we must never lose faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. It also takes His power to save the lost. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. There is no other power, there is nothing else on the face of this earth that can save you but Jesus Christ. Who is the only one that knows your heart? Jesus. He knows every single thought that goes through your mind, and He knows what weighs on your heart the most. If there's one person who knows you intimately, it is Jesus Christ. He knows the very number of hairs that's on your head. He knows about your tomorrow. He knows about your next week. He knows all about you. And even before we were formed and created in our mother's womb, the Bible says Jesus knew us. Now, isn't that great that all these people... Now we limit Jesus, I really do believe. We limit Jesus with our minds. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, that person will never get saved? They're just too mean. I know exactly what they did last week. See, we're always trying to fault find, and we're always trying to see the bad in people, and we always think that there's no way that certain people will get saved because of how they've lived their life or maybe a crime they've done. I know I'd seen somebody get saved, and it had entered into my own heart that I would say myself, well, I can't believe that person's a Christian. Wow, I knew what they were like way back when. And then I'm thinking, what a dumb thing to say. Because that person's salvation, it didn't have anything to do with me, not at all. But they had an encounter with Christ, and the power in His love, it penetrated their heart and their mind, and it brought that person to a place where they were humbled, where they were made in reality what their sins were, and they knew that they needed Jesus Christ in their life. And His power came into their heart and life. And the Bible says that when we come to Jesus, the old things are passed away and everything is made brand new in our life. So His death, burial, and resurrection made it possible for for you and I to be here today, and there's no other way to get to heaven but by Jesus. Every person can be saved, and Jesus has the power to meet every need. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, I'll tell you this. When I was a young and a new Christian, it was still a custom for me to be a worry wart. It really was. And all I ever did was worry. I worried about making good grades in college and graduating. I worried about who would like me and who wouldn't like me. I worried about, you know, when it come time to go to the doctor. Am I going to get a good report? Well, how am I going to pay this? Or what's going to happen tomorrow? You know, there is so much that would flood my mind and my life. The enemy put all of these things on top of me because he wanted to keep me in a neutral corner. The devil knew if he could keep my mind preoccupied with the things of this world, he knew that I wouldn't get into God's word, and he knew that I wouldn't pray. And that's what I would do. And I would get myself so worried, I would stay up all night, literally to break out into a sweat and have almost fits of anxiousness, just crazy. And it took quite some time, but my grandmother would ask me, "What are you worried about?" I said, "Well, I don't know." She goes, "Well, you got to be worried about something." She said, "You're all up in the air." And she said, "You got to quit the worry." And she said, "I'm going to be praying." But she would lovingly show me all the scriptures in the Bible to bring peace. But it was until I finally decided to get to the place where I needed to give everything to the Lord that finally the worry would be subsided out of my life. And now, I mean, I go through life and people ask me, well, aren't you worried about such and such? No, I found out when my time is filled with worry, then I don't have time for the fellowship. I would rather my life be filled with praising the Lord and leaving everything to him. Because let me tell you this, when we're busy praising God and when we're busy serving him, you know what you have less time to think about? Your problems that are going on around you. When you focus everything on him, literally, when you focus everything on the Lord, he will make everything fall into place and he will answer your prayers at the very right time. Now, I'll share this little story with you. Back many, many moons ago, talking like it's been 100 years, but it's been about, 40-some years ago, I was out of high school. I was in the paramedic program. I wanted to be a paramedic so bad. I don't know. I had this. I used to watch Emergency on TV when I was a kid, and, man, I was always thrilled with John Gage and Roy DeSoto, the paramedics, and the ambulances and the fire calls. So one thing I wanted to be was a paramedic. And I got into paramedic class, and let me tell you something. It wasn't easy. And there was a lot to do. And every time the instructor would hand us things that had to be accomplished this week, I'm going, "Oh, dear Lord, there ain't no way I could do all this." And I got myself into some worrisome times. And I would sit during class and worry about the schedule that he handed out. And then finally, I decided, you know what? It's going to be up to me to make the decision. Am I going to let this make me or break me? And so here I was, a young Christian. And so finally I said, "You know what, Lord, you got to help me with all this." And when it finally came down to the very end of class, the end of that last semester, we had to do a scenario. And we had to, it was Advanced Cardiac Life Support, ACLS, and we had to do this scenario, and I mean, it had to be just like our instructor had it laid out. And if we didn't get it right, repeat that semester. And, you know, I prayed before going to class that evening, and I kept putting everybody before me. Once you go ahead and go before me, I'm not ready yet. And finally, when it come time that I got down there on the floor, and Tom Banks was my instructor at that time, and I remember being on the floor down there in front of that patient, and he started running me my scenario, and instead of worrying about it, all the answers started coming just like that. And when I got done, Tom looked at me and he said, "Is that all?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Very well done. You passed." So I thought, see, when we give everything to the Lord, God will work it out and God will always get the glory. His word says that he will supply every need, not just a part, not just a half, and not three-fourths. God says that he will supply every single need because he's got everything all worked out. And it also takes the Lord's power to bring sinners joy. After the man had his right hand restored that had been withered, I can guarantee you that the man experienced such a joy. Have you ever been so sick or you've gone through something and God has touched your life and you were better? Have you ever experienced anything in your life at all that you thought was such a heavy burden on you, and then God removed the burden and answered your prayer and made your load much lighter? Didn't you experience some type of joy? I know I do. And I try to get it in my life, and I miss the mark a lot of the times. But when I get up, it's, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So, see, God, for me, God doesn't have to perform a miracle every day for me to be joyful. Just having the presence of the Lord with me makes me glad. Now, I'm sure the man was very excited to have his hand restored. I mean, for who knows how many years his hand had been like that. He hadn't been able to use it. And now all of a sudden he's got strength in his fingers. He can use that hand one more time. He can use that hand, and he's able to do things now that he wasn't able to do in the past. And that's just like our Christian life. The moment we got saved, there were things that you and I were not able to do as sinners. But when we became Christ-centered, when Christ became the center of our life and we got saved, we were able to do new things. The old things were gone. Our sins were forgiven, and our name was written into the Lamb's book of life. Do you remember the day that Jesus made you whole? How many of you remember during revival testimony time, the evangelist would always ask, who would testify about what the Lord has done in your life? Well, waking up every day, it's a joy. But knowing that Jesus has made me whole, knowing that my life has been completely restored and turned around, and that I have a hope, that I have a future, that I have a home in heaven, makes everything much greater. And then, of course, we always know that when God's working, guess who's there and guess who's not happy? The devil. The scribes and the Pharisees were watching Jesus. They were watching to see what he was going to do. And when Jesus restored the man's right hand, they were angry. See, these people, the scribes and the Pharisees, they weren't at church to worship. They weren't in the Lord's house to praise God. They were there to point fingers and find fault. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this, and it's true. Every church has it. Every church has them. And there's always those few people that come to church. I don't know what it is that makes them want to come to church and be so irritable, but those are the ones that we need to pray for. But see, it didn't sway Jesus. It didn't affect him. Their attitudes did not stop him from doing his Father's will. How many times in church do we refuse to do things because the devil points a finger at us and accuses us? Mercy, excuse me. How many times does the devil accuse us of our past life and tell us about the things we had once done, who we once were before Christ, and that we've got no business doing things in ministry? The devil wants to bring your faults up, but it's up to us as Christian people to remind the devil that we are children of the living God, that we have His power at work in our life, that we have been set free from our sin. So when we come to the Lord's house, if we know there are people there who are not living for the Lord, then it's up to us to show them love, to show them compassion, and to pray for them and not point a finger back and talk about them. When I was a kid, I used to think that going to church was to get together to talk about everybody else, because that's all I ever heard most of the time. See, these people had withered hearts, but only Jesus can bring life back into our hearts. I want you to know this morning that Jesus is in this very place. You can leave here glad and rejoicing and joyful. Does the weather outside look that great? No. Does it have to affect our mood? Absolutely not. Because no matter what it's done out there, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you can leave here glad. You can leave here praising God for what Jesus has done in your life. You can thank Him for making you whole. You can thank Him for the people that are around you. And you can thank Him that He fixed your withered heart. Because every single one of us at some time had a withered heart. And the moment Jesus got a hold of our heart and He drove out all the old yuck, He restored our heart and He put our hearts back into our right place with Him.